Welcome to the Jerusalem Post podcast. This is Yaakov Katz, and I'm joined here by Laha Farkov. And this is a version, I think, that we're going to call On the Road. We're actually in the Dubai International Airport. We just had yesterday a fantastic conference together with our partners at the Khalij Times in Dubai, an Emirati newspaper, a conference that we've been working on for almost a year since the Abraham Accords were first announced. We tried to plan and organize a conference to celebrate the new relations. It was first supposed to be held in February, then in May, kept on getting postponed because of COVID restrictions, once in Israel, once in Dubai, and it was finally scheduled for June 2nd. But little did we know, Lahav, that June 2nd would turn into quite the day for Israel as well, right? Why don't we remind our listeners what happened June 2nd back home while we were in Dubai?
Well, two, you know, small news items, not a big deal. First of all, Israel elected a new president, Isaac Herzog.
בעד המועמד יצחק הרצוג הצביעו 87 חברי כנסת. מר יצחק הרצוג הוא הנשיא הנבחר של מדינת ישראל.
And second, it appears that we are going to have a new government. Yair Lapid told current President Reuven Rivlin that he is able to form a majority coalition. Naftali Bennett will be prime minister for the first 2 years, followed by Lapid for the next 2 years if it lasts that long. And it runs the gamut from Bennett and Saar, Yamina and New Hope parties on the right, to Meretz on the left. And then we also have Ra'am, the Islamic Movement Party, which I wouldn't so easily put on that left-right spectrum.
Parting from Netanyahu, not because he's a bad guy. He's not a bad guy. But after 32 years in politics, 32 years, it's not working.
The kaleidoscope government, as I like to call it, but it has parties from across the political spectrum. But also one thing that's been running for a while now is that anyone who wants to call Israel an apartheid state, that photo of Naftali Bennett, head of Yamina, Yair Lapid, the head of Yesh Atid, and Mansour Abbas, the head of Ram, kind of shatters that image of Israel being an apartheid state.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. You know, Ram played such a huge role. There really, we would have a fifth election if it weren't for the fact that Mansour Abbas, the leader of Ram, very courageously, I may say, sort of changed the paradigm of Israeli Arab politics to say that, you know, he is willing to work with Israeli governments on civil society issues.
We're going to get back to politics. We're joined also by Mayan Hoffman, our head of strategy and coronavirus analyst, who is also with us in Dubai at the conference. And Mayan, I want to talk to you for a moment. So I felt yesterday at our conference a surreal kind of split screen moment. On the one hand, here we are, the Jerusalem Post, top editors, writers in Dubai, celebrating the new relations, relatively new relations between our countries, very much orchestrated by a man whose name is Benjamin Netanyahu. While on the same day that we are celebrating these relations with diplomats, businessmen, journalists from around the region, Asia, and the wider world, back home in Israel, they are coming together to topple him, right? So how does that seem from your vantage point?
I mean, I think it was interesting because I think on the one hand, you can say that Netanyahu is the one that brought about these Abraham Accords, but I think in reality, that's probably not the case. He was in the right place at the right time, and he agreed, you know, very close relations with Donald Trump, but these things were started way before Netanyahu. I mean, Netanyahu was, yes, in office for 12 years, but he wasn't necessarily as deeply engaged in those dialogues as much as I would say evangelical Christians, for example. People who were working to support.
Some people might say that Netanyahu is an evangelical Christian, no?
Might say that, like, But no, I mean, I think that Netanyahu obviously played a role, but you heard Eitan Neve was the Israeli ambassador to the UAE yesterday when he interviewed actually with Lahav and said that he thinks relations will continue regardless of who's prime minister.
I'm going to take a different view on this. I agree with the ambassador that relations will continue no matter who the prime minister is. I think that Netanyahu, I think, and I know from many people I've spoken to both here and in Israel, he took a very unique and personal role in making this happen. I'm not saying it couldn't have happened if there was a different prime minister, but he still deserves the credit, and he has a lot more going on behind the scenes. I think we all know about burgeoning relations with Saudi, which I think have now gone on the back burner for other reasons, including the latest conflict in Gaza, including Biden becoming president. But there is an issue that the leadership here in the UAE, in Bahrain, and, you know, in Saudi to some extent, they know Netanyahu, And they trust him to some extent.
He's a known commodity.
Right. But there is a personal relationship that was built, and I think there's going to be an uphill challenge for whoever comes next. That being said, I think both sides, I mean, again, leaving Saudi out, but in UAE and Bahrain, both sides do want these ties to continue. But I think that there will be a little bit of a slowdown.
Maybe. I just want to add, there's also the tragic or the Greek tragedy moment for Netanyahu in all of this is that he did not yet have a chance to visit the UAE as prime minister, and he never let any of his ministers come because he wanted to be the first person to come here to celebrate these relations. And now, if he is actually ousted in the next week or so, it could be that Naftali Bennett, his arch rival, is the guy who's going to come here and pick up the pieces and be able to celebrate as the prime minister of Israel to be the first one to come to the UAE.
And I would also say that even again, if he helps to orchestrate some of it, and I think on Donald Trump's side, he was also very integral, that the reality is that we saw in the recent escalation that these countries don't want the hawkish government. People on the ground, it was very, very tense ahead of our conference, in the sense that as we were having an escalation with Hamas, there's a lot of pro-Palestinian entities, not as much in the UAE, but certainly in Bahrain, and having a prime minister in place that is a little more sensitive to those issues might actually benefit the relations in some way.
Since the signing of the historic peace treaty between us, Israel-UAE relations have been moving ahead rapidly. So when the UAE succeeds, Israel succeeds. And when Israel succeeds, the UAE succeeds. May our new partnership be an example to all nations of the Middle East.
So just tell me, Mayan, the highlights of the conference. It was more focused business, right? It was less diplomacy, security, and those things. Those were on the back burner, but it was more about business. What were the big highlights that came out of our conference?
I mean, the highlight is the business relations that were formed. I think you saw that within the audience, you know, we had a couple of hundred people, and we brought them together specifically because they were high-level business officials, as you said, not diplomatic, not political, though there were some there. And the goal was to be able to create new economic opportunities, the peace and prosperity concept, the idea that they would do business together, make money for the two countries. You saw that in a number of fields, real estate, health, technology. It was really, I would say that's the highlight. The highlight was people-to-people business relations.
Laha, from your perspective?
I think there was a really special atmosphere. You know, I've been to so many of these conferences in Jerusalem and New York before, and this was just so different. People were just so optimistic and excited, and it was really just palpable. Like, you could really sense it.
Yeah, I know. I got that sense, too, that people were happy to be together from across the region, meeting Israelis, meeting Emiratis, meeting Moroccans, and vice versa. The feeling that there's hope, and it also shows what's possible for Israel. This is going to be a short version of our podcast. We actually have to get on our plane, so bear with us, but I do think that we were boarding a flight from Dubai back to Tel Aviv with hope, not only for a new government that might be formed in Israel, but also from what we experienced here in Dubai. Thank you very much.